Do you believe the shortest distance between two points is a straight line? Do you understand the general theory of relativity? Hey everyone, welcome back to yet another episode of Science Up Podcast. This is me, Alfonza Joseph, hosting the episode, and we have Amrita Mukherjee as a co-host. Welcome, Amrita.
Hi everyone.
And for today's episode, we have an eminent physicist, Dr. Ujjal, with us. Dr. Ujjal Day is an assistant professor in the Department of Physics, ICER Berhampur. His work primarily focuses on high-energy physics, dark matter, neutrinos, gravitational waves. Before joining ICER Berhampur, he was a postdoctoral fellow at the Physics Research Laboratory, Ahmedabad, IIT Kharagpur, and the Asia-Pacific Center for Theoretical Physics, South Korea. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
General relativity is Albert Einstein's understanding of how gravity affects the fabric of space-time. Special relativity argued that space and time are inextricably connected, but that theory didn't acknowledge the existence of gravity. In the previous episode, we saw, in the light of Euclidean geometry, that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But it turns out that it is not so. Why and how?
Okay, so as you may have already listen to the earlier podcast on special relativity, that we want to take space and time and we want to consider that together. Okay, and the shortest distance that we were discussing in that framework, we call that space-time interval. And that space-time interval was discussed as the squared differences between the time part and the space part. Okay, now that doesn't contain any space-time curvature or any of those ideas. So when we want to include the idea of gravity, we actually have to modify some of the features, and we will see that we have to bring in the idea of curvature into the picture so that we can have a consistent description of the theory. Okay, so from special relativity to general relativity, if you want to have a transition, so there is something called equivalence principle. Okay, that equivalence principle is like the basic thing which leads us to that kind of thing. Okay, and then this geometry comes in, so like why do we need to have curvature and all. There are things like tidal forces. So this tidal forces is something that actually is already coming in, and the equivalence principle, these two are the main things. That is why we need to have the space-time curvature. And if we have to define the curvature, then we have to make some changes in that description that we have.
Okay, sir, we have heard about the term geodesic. And in terms of shortest distance, what does it exactly mean?
Okay, so if you just go by the root of the word, like geo is earth, and desic actually comes from some Latin word again, which means like dividing or something. Now, let's say you are in a flat surface, okay? So if you are in a flat surface, then if you are thinking about the shortest distance between two points, then obviously that is just a straight line, right? Now, consider the situation where you are, let's say, on a sphere, okay? Now, suppose you are on a sphere and then you want to find out what is the shortest distance between two points. So, how will you go about that? Okay, so consider it like this. So, take a sphere and think about the North Pole and the South Pole. Okay, now what would be the shortest distance on that spherical surface?
It will be along the longitude.
Exactly, that will be along that longitude, right? Now, you can leave an ant on the surface and it may not follow the longitudinal line. It may go this side, that side, and then reach from, let's say, North to South Pole. So then obviously that is not going to be the shortest path. But the shortest path would be the longitudinal line that you are calling. So in that surface, obviously this longitudinal line is the shortest path. And that shortest path we will call geodesic line. Okay, as I mentioned, this is just one simple example of like spherical surfaces. You can have other different kind of surfaces. But the idea is that the shortest path that you can reach from one point to another point, that path will be called the geodesic path.
So we have seen, like, we have the special theory of relativity. So, but then we also have this general theory of relativity. So what is the inconsistency with special theory of relativity? So that we needed a...
Well, it is not so much as inconsistency. You should say that it is as the name suggests, it is general, right? So that means that special theory to general theory. So that means you are generalizing something. Okay. Now, what you are generalizing here? So the main thing that you are generalizing here is the region of interest that you are thinking about. So special relativity, when you are thinking about it, is actually a local theory. Local theory in the sense that you are considering a really small space where the gravitational field is actually uniform. Okay. Now suppose you are in a situation where the gravitational field is no longer uniform. Or for example, you cannot consider the uniformity of the gravitational field in the range that you are considering. Okay. Now, at that point, what will happen is that this kind of tidal forces or some other effects will come into the picture. And then you have to change some things. And at that point, you have to actually bring in the concepts of space-time curvature into the picture. And then you have to have this situation. So the bottom line is, the moment you are considering larger region of space, okay, and you want to have a consistent theory of gravity, you have to generalize it. So you can say that small enough region, special case of general relativity is the special relativity. It can be viewed like that.
Okay, and so you have discussed the equivalence principle. So can you say it in more details?
Actually, there are 2-3 different variants of the equivalence principle. Okay, so they go by the name like weak equivalence principle, Einstein equivalence principle, strong equivalence principle, like that. But all of them are, there are subtle differences, but crudely we can say that they lead to something. For example, let's say gravitational mass and inertial mass are the same thing. That can be one way of looking at it. Another way, and that is more accurate in my opinion, would be to say that we are, let's say, considering some inertial frame of reference. Okay, an inertial frame of reference, it is indistinguishable to have acceleration and the forces of gravity. Let me explain. So suppose you are in an elevator, okay, and all of a sudden by some mishap or something the wires are broken and you are just having a free fall kind of thing. Now if you are inside the elevator, you will feel weightless, right? As long as it is not hitting the ground, I mean till before that point you will feel weightless, and everything around you will also become weightless. Now this situation is almost similar as in space. So in space, suppose you are within a spaceship or something, no gravity, no nothing, and you will feel weightless again, right? So that is also an inertial frame. And here, you are actually having a free fall, right? Like on Earth, I mean, the elevator wire broke down and it is like you are having a free fall. But still, I mean, you are feeling weightless. So that means this is also an inertial frame. And here you cannot distinguish whether there is gravity or not, okay? So all bodies, I mean, feels the same acceleration due to gravity, and that is why you will feel weightless. So that is why you cannot distinguish between the whether you are in space or whether you are not. So that is the basic tenet of this equivalence principle, okay? So you are not distinguishing between the inertial frame and the acceleration that you are having. And this actually led Einstein to think that maybe gravity, I mean, we don't have to think about gravity as a force. We can think as this to be like the natural motion of some particle or anything. It's like just it is following some kind of geodesic path. Okay, so long as there is no external force acting on it, it will just follow some geodesic path, the shortest possible path between them. From that thinking onwards, I mean, he developed the mathematics. And while developing the mathematics, I mean, at that time, it was very interesting that mathematics that he needed was never used in physics before. So mathematicians like Riemann and Gauss used this kind of mathematics to describe various things. Okay, so it was Einstein's genius to use those ideas to bring in from mathematics to physics and describe the theory of general relativity in such a beautiful manner.
Okay, so if a beginner starts to learn GTR, so since you discussed some math, so where should he or she start with?
For example, if a biologist wants to learn
exactly.
GTRs.
Okay, so the basic things are, for example, like coordinate systems and different types of coordinate systems, vectors and differentials and all these things. So if you have this kind of mathematical knowledge, then you can take up from those ideas itself. So let me give you one simple example. Suppose, at least even if you are from biological science background, but you know what a vector is, right? Yes. So you may have heard of this kind of statement that if you just parallelly move a vector, it remains the same, right? This much you know. Now that is true so long as you are in a flat surface. Now suppose you have a vector, and let's say on this table we have a vector, and you are just moving it parallelly. So even if whatever parallel kind of movement you are having to this vector remains the same. Now consider the same thing on a sphere. Okay. Now suppose a vector is pointing towards, like let's say tangentially around the north pole, let's say. Now you are trying to parallelly move that vector as parallel as you can. And then you move along some line and then reach to that point again. You will find that this time, the vector already changed its direction because of the curvature. Now, you may have heard about the things called like differentiation. Like differentiation is what, for example, dy dx as a function, you are having a differentiation with respect to some variable. You are just changing with respect to some variable. Now here, you are having a differential in the sense that you are changing with respect to the curve that you are having on a sphere. Okay, but in this case, even though you are having a differential and following the same kind of mathematics that you know in the flat space, you will see that your vector is changing. So you have to modify some the definition of differentials and all. Okay, and these changes will bring in the concept of curvature of that manifold, so to say.
So the idea of curvature existed before Einstein had come up with GTR.
Yeah, it was in mathematics. So Gauss first started discussing these kind of things, like for example, any different kind of two-dimensional surfaces, not necessarily flat. Let's say hyperbolic surface, or let's say cylindrical surface, or spherical surface. So what will happen to the curves or geometrical things that you know? So the Euclidean features that you know of, they will already get modified. For example, you know that what is the sum of angles of a triangle? 180 degrees, right? 180 degrees. And that is again true on a plane. So if you draw a triangle, let's say on a sphere, then you will say that the angles are no longer 180 degrees. It will become larger. And it will become smaller than 180 degrees if it's on a, let's say, hyperbolic surface.
Okay, so like surfaces also have different categories?
Surfaces also. But here I just want to mention one thing which you may not appreciate at this point, but you may appreciate this if you go into the details of this thing. So all these surfaces, be it like a sphere or a hyperbolic surface or even a cylindrical surface, if you go to the small enough scale, this can actually be approximated as a flat thing. Right? Can you see that? For example, let's say on Earth, from the space that it is actually a sphere.
Oh, yes.
Right. But if you go to any cricket ground or so, you will see that it is like flat. So actually, locally, so that technically speaking, this is all these surfaces, okay, whatever be that surface, locally, they are all flat. Now, remember that a few moments before, I was talking about the general relativity and in the small scale, it is becoming special relativity. It is actually, again, due to that thing. Because the curvature is no longer in action when you are thinking about a small enough scale. Okay?
So this is what had taken Einstein 10 years to move from STR to
STR GTR. To GTR. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, because apparently it has taken him very long time to
formulate everything. Yeah. And also the mathematics, as I said. So mathematics was not very popular. This kind of mathematics was not very popular in physics. So, but then, when Einstein found that it is already there, he quickly bring that in within physics and then started discussing.
So is it like before GTR or after GTR, like any implications or evidences like which?
Yeah, for example, if you are talking about what are the experimental tests of GTR,
yes.
Okay, so there are actually a number of tests. Even in when he was alive, so there was two or three tests that were there, and it actually proved his theory to like very well manner. So the first was chronologically this was the first or the other one. So there is this precession of Mercury. So what happens is that the Mercury as it rotates around the sun, its perihelion axis actually also rotates. Now in the Newtonian gravity, it is not explainable. So only when the ideas of general relativity is used, this shift in the perihelion axis of the Mercury can be explained, and that actually matched with the experiment. Okay, so that was one. Then another one was like bending of light. Now bending of light thing was tested during a solar eclipse. So that was again, I think 1919 or sometime. So Arthur Eddington was carrying out those experiments. So during one solar eclipse. So when we are having a solar eclipse, that at that time we can actually view the stars that are just behind the sun, let's say. And since the sun is a massive object, so it actually changes the space-time around it.
Yes.
And if it changes the space-time around it, then light follows some specific paths. Remember the geodesics? So light actually follows some specific kind of geodesics. Those are called null geodesics. So the stars that were like behind the sun, they can be visible only during the time of the eclipse. Otherwise, the light of sun would be too bright and we won't be able to see them. So when we are having those eclipses, solar eclipses, so then the light from back of the sun, we can actually see those stars and we can measure some things. And that was like the second, or I think first or second, that was one of the other tests. Then there was something called gravitational redshift. So that was another experimental test, you can say, of the general relativity. But it doesn't end there. So then general theory of relativity predicts also many of the things which are discovered later and later, like gravitational waves or like black holes, things like that.
So like black holes are a direct solution to the theory, like right. The equation of gravity or something.
Right.
Like
so that. Einstein's equation, you can say that Einstein's equations solutions can have different types of forms. So black holes are one of them.
Okay. So is it the field equation that you are talking about?
Yes. So it actually the field equations. Yeah. So this that is actually a good question. So the field equations are very nice. So the Einstein field equations are very nice in the sense that the left hand side of the equation is representing the curvature in space time. Okay. And the right hand side of that equation is the energy and mass distribution of the thing. So basically, you can say that okay, mass tells space time how to curve. And that, in turn, tells mass how to move, right, in space-time. So that is why that equation was like that. But then again, if you go into the more technical details, then you will see that those equations are nothing but some kind of differentials of the metric. Metric is something that actually specifies the smallest distance there. Okay, so... That is again some kind of differential equation, and if you solve those differential equations, you will get different kinds of solutions. And one such solution you can say is the black hole solution. Not only that, even the evolution of universe can be described by using these ideas. And there are different theories. This is called FRW metric, and different kinds of metric actually describe different kind of space time. And be it a black hole or be it our universe, so these are the things that describe them.
Okay, so you totally agree with the like quote that John Wheeler said, that space time tells matter how to move and matter tells space time how to move,
yeah,
which sums up the general theory of relativity.
That's true.
Okay, so yeah. Since you said you totally believe in this quote, so are there any alternative theories of gravity you would like to believe in, or what is your take on that?
Yes, there are actually many alternative theories of gravity also. So not only general relativity, but you see that none of them are this much simple and explains all the things that we are having. So there can be different kinds of modifications, and those modifications you can make to address maybe just one or two problems at a time, but then it doesn't solve or it doesn't explain all the things together. So that is the problem. So one day if we can do that, then yeah, then you can say that you have a new theory of gravity. Yeah.
So again, GTR is also not complete in quantum mechanical context.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. In the sense that we do not have any quantum theory of gravity. And well, string theory is like the most powerful contender to that. But then again, I mean, string theory, I mean, we do not have any experimental verification of the string. So that is the problem. But then again, I mean, if you just look at the mathematics and the consistency of the theory, then obviously string theory is the most powerful contender for the quantum theory of gravity. As of now.
So as of now, experimentally, GTR is the most accepted theory, kind of.
Yes, you
other
can.
Other than quantum mechanics, perhaps.
Yes. So actually, the gravity or the gravitation theory of gravitation and the quantum world are still like kind of separated, and we want to like have a theory and which connects both of them. So don't have that till now.
It was pleasure having you, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank
it's
you
always,
for your time and
yeah.
Knowledge.
Okay. It's always nice to talk with young students, and they come up with so much. Different types of questions, which, I mean, personally, I mean, we don't think about all the time. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And especially as a person from a biology background, it was very good.
Oh, I,
it's not. For,
okay, yeah, okay.
I almost it's, had the course before I actually do the course.
Okay, yeah.
So, once again, thank you, sir. And thank you, Amrita, for being a
yeah,
thank you,
okay.
co-host.
Thank you.